Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, September 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 85, paragraph 3, which begins with, hang on a second. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. Today's readers are Christina M. for the 12 steps, Laura R. for the 12 traditions, Barbara W., Mary B., and Anne Marie M. Barb W. will greet newcomers at the end of the meeting, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, which should be Wednesday, September 22, is 17790. That's 17,790. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, September 23rd, is 17,798. That's 17798. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Christina M. to please read those 12 steps.
Thanks so much. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina M. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study at the Big Book. We are on page 85, paragraph 3, beginning with step 11. And I will now ask Barbara W. to please read and comment for us.
Good morning. It is my honor to do service this morning and read. Step 11, bottom of page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. What a packed paragraph. This particular service, in my own mind, of doing prayer and meditation has come to mean a great deal to me. And it seems I am 75 years old, and it seems the older I get, the deeper I go into my concept of my higher power. And I even find myself, I don't know if you've heard the word pause, I'll find myself now, even in stores, circling with all sorts of people and all the stimulation, I'll find myself stepping back for just a minute and saying, you know, acknowledging the presence and power of my higher power, walking with me through that store. And I only shop once a week. Oh, bless it, that's all I do. If I forgot something, it waits till next week. But my prayer meditation, there's a song in my fellowship that's called I Go Deeper Into My, and I call my higher power God. I go deeper into my God. And that means that I spend more time. It used to be just morning meditation. I have a guided meditation that I do every morning. And that was it. And now I find myself during the day, like I step into, I hate to use the word bubble, but I step into my own bubble and I find a deeper relationship with my higher power than I've ever had before. I have a son that's always lived in the Northwest, and he and his family are moving to Mobile, Alabama. And it's their choice in their life. And I'm giving him my blessing and my love and lots of prayer. And it's their choice. And nothing I say or do is going to make a difference. Oh my gosh, I will miss my 13-year-old grandson and my 10-year-old granddaughter with a passion. And believe me, I'm going to make good use of the Zoom and visiting them as often as I can. Well, I think that I said enough, but I can't say enough that the prayer and meditation in my life has sustained me and lifted me in a realm that I've never known before. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. Grateful for how Zoom brings us together. That's awesome. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on page 85, paragraph 3, please press star 1 and give me your name.
Melissa Hi. W.
Melissa W.
Roz
Lorraine
G.
N.
Sarah
Roz G. I heard Roz G, Lorraine N, and then somebody else?
Sarah T.
Sarah T. Room for a couple more. Anybody else want to share on this? Okay.
Mary R.
Oops. Mary R.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Okay, so I've got Melissa W, Roz G, Lorraine N, Sarah T, Mary R. Did I get everyone? Okay. Well, we'll start with Melissa T, and you'll be followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Melissa. Melissa W.
Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone doing service on the line. This is Melissa W., recovered in New York. I think it's ironic always how we read exactly what I feel like I need to hear on the line. I have a daughter who is struggling right now, and I can't help her. I can't help her, and I am powerless. I'm utterly powerless. And the only option I have right now is to go to God, because she is like a constant reminder of how powerless I am. And I love what the speaker said, which is like, you know, basically it's like better men than we are using it constantly. Because I have to use this constantly. And literally right before this meeting, I found myself opening the refrigerator and I went to go for a beverage, a drink. And really what happened is I leaned my head against the shelf in the refrigerator. And all I said was like, please help. Like, just please help. And that is like, if that isn't like, 1, 2, and 3, like, I don't know what is. And like, that's what this program gives me, is like the ability to like pause throughout the day and just like ask God for help. And that is just like, I don't get that without this program. And I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful for that, because it's just like, not what my life looked like before, and without that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melissa W. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Lorraine N.
Okay, thank you. My name's Roz G. I'm in my car, so I may sound a little echoey, but. I wasn't following along in the text, but I know the chapter pretty well. And I know you guys are talking about prayer and meditation. And I've belonged to a church all of my life, different churches, and some really good, some not so good. And I considered myself to be a woman of prayer. But basically, I was just treating God as like maybe, you know, like a heavenly Santa Claus, someone to ask things and expect to receive in return. And some of the churches that I went to taught me, well, if you give this, you're going to get this back, you know. And in the big book, you know, from what I remember, it says in a couple of places, you know, I was to pray for God's will in my life, you know, never asking for anything in return unless it was going to be helpful to someone else. So, you know, for instance, I'm driving a new car. And I did ask God for it, but you know this. But the way that I can use it is to be of service. You know that it's big enough to carry people around, or you know that I can, or for my home, I can open up my home to be helpful. You know, to have gatherings where it can be a place of joy, where I can bring sponsees over to listen to their step work. You know, back before this COVID crap. But so for me, prayer is, when I do ask things of God, it is, as the big book directs, to, you know, that it is helpful, to be helpful to others. And, at, you know, as I go to different big book studies and groups, I've learned about the practice of sitting in meditation, in quiet, not with music. Oh, those are great, you know, and I have music and I have guided meditations too, but there's something very special about sitting in quiet, absolute quiet, and allowing whatever distractions I have to float away, to look at them, face them, and let them go. And I tell you, that brings me to a place that wherever I am, you know, in life, you know, for now, it's been kind of rough returning to school. We're really low on teachers, and it's been really rough. But I can go to my place inside of me, say the serenity prayer, breathe, and be still, and know that I am God. Not me, but, you know, be still. Know that I am God. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Thank you. Wisdom, a courage to change the things I can. Wisdom to know the difference. That brings a lot of peace and serenity throughout the day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Raj G. Lorraine N., you're up next, followed by Sarah T.
Hi, good morning. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in Oregon. Thank you for your service. I couldn't wait to share on this paragraph, and I seldom share, but I share when I feel moved by the Spirit. And this is the step that changed my life and continues to change my life on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm into this, to visions even, 2 years ago. I had a God, but it was the God of my childhood, which was a terrifying, fearful God. And I went through the steps and the motions, and I stayed abstinent and got abstinent, and I got, you know, I'm at my goal weight. But I'll tell you, this past year has been spiritual warfare, because I no longer believed in that God, and I didn't really have a concept of a new God. And I was in the dark night of the soul for months, and with the help of other members in this program and someone who in this program who led me to a form of meditation, that's what I'm getting to, that I do every day, 20 minutes of total silence, and then other short meta meditations throughout the day. But it just, where it says here, you know, using it constantly, and we work at it. I didn't get that at first. I didn't see how someone could live and walk and talk with God all day, like the first reader said. I kind of live my life that way too. And with the training of the meditation, I can drop into that place in the supermarket, anywhere, anytime I feel triggered, And it's not perfect. Nothing's perfect. But it certainly is a way of life that I can live now. You know, I'm an addict. I'm undisciplined. And this program disciplines me in the simple way described in this book. So I'm excited today because I have had more peace in my life at 70 than I've ever had. And maybe it does have to do with aging and knowing that, you know, time is short. And I mean, any of us can go at any time, but you're really looking at it when you hit 70. So I'm so grateful for this program and for my God squad that keeps me on the path. And all of you. And I just encourage anybody who's new on the line to just keep working at it. And don't just keep coming back, just stay. Okay, thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. And Sarah T., you're up next, followed by Mary R.
Hi, this is Sarah T. from Colorado. Can you hear me?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I also love the part that says greater men have than us have used these tools. That just takes away all my performance and all pressure on myself to be good or to be the best. And just, I mean, greater men than us have used it. So my only job is to do what the book says and to show up. And it also gives me a good dose of humility of it's not about me. It's not about, oh, I did good today and I was kind today. I must be awesome. It's like, no, I chose to surrender and told God I can't do this on my own. I've tried and look what that's got me. Addiction. And this program has really transformed my relationships through prayer and meditation. Even this morning, my mom, I'm visiting Minnesota. I just flew in last night, and I need this program, and I need higher power, the meditation especially, because a familiar habit we have is eating together in my whole family. I guess my grandma was in a way, I found out, didn't know that. And I was like, wow, God, I need you to help me not go into familiar with my mom and to just eat and disassociate. Like, I need courage and the serenity prayer to do new habits with mom and to just be brave and say, hey, can we make a new tradition when I visit to do something healthy and self-care and maybe go out in nature or maybe play a game and not just sit and eat because it's not who I am anymore. So yeah, that really spoke to me, and it's really, this trip I think is going to be different because I'm actually listening to a couple meetings a day and practicing meditation where usually I do a couple of days on, a couple of days off, and I get into willpower, but this time, probably the first time I've been this surrendered of I'm not going to make it if you don't show up. So thank you so much for letting me share, and with that I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarah T. I mean, yes, Sarah T. And Mary R., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 85, paragraph 3, which begins with step 11, suggest prayer and meditation. Please share with us, Mary.
Thank you. Prayer and meditation, they have been my lifesaver at a very early age, being raised in a dysfunctional home. I do thank my mother for introducing me to God, who is today, to this day, my higher power. So prayer has always been a part of my life. I remember going to God when the dysfunction was through the roof and just going to Him in isolation and crying my eyes out as a kid. And now as an adult, I mean, my prayer life has improved, especially through this program. I find that beginning my day with prayer is much, much better than just starting to do something that I need to do for that day. I notice that the days that I go to prayer first are always better days. I am learning how to meditate as an adult, deep breathing and so forth. So that's a work in progress. But I always look at prayer as me talking to God and meditation as God talking to me. So I really, really need to do more meditation so I can get my guidance from my higher power, who is luckily a loving God and not a punishing God. I look at prayer and meditation as a marriage, quite like a marriage. In a marriage, to have a good one, you talk to each other, and that's what we do with prayer and meditation. You spend time together. You listen to each other. And I absolutely love this program. I love this meeting. And thank you all for being on the line. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Mary R. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we encourage you to do so. Press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Donna B.
Donna B.
What paragraph are we on?
We are on page 85, paragraph 3, which begins with step 11, suggests prayer and meditation.
Thank you. Christy M.
Christy M. And did somebody else say they wanted to share?
Jean J.
Jean J. Plenty of room for more.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M.
Doug S.
Doug S.
Patricia C.
Patricia C. Great. Let's go with that. And I have Donna B. followed by Christy M., Jean J., Anne Marie M., Doug S., and Patricia C. So if you're not Donna B., I ask you to press star 1 to mute your phone, and please share with us, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. I do spell my name D-A-N-A. One of the things that struck me about the paragraph is the statement, if we have the proper attitude towards it. And unfortunately, I too came from a dysfunctional home. And from what I understand, it's very common for people to attribute the qualities of their parents to a concept of a higher power. So although I've been in the rooms for many years, and thank you, God, I've also been abstinent, entirely abstinent for quite some time now. No matter how hard I quote unquote try, there's something deep inside of me that is married to the idea that God is punishing. My parents don't believe in God, and I was not raised with a concept of God. I never went to a church or a synagogue or to a school in which a person in a position of authority said to me, God is punishing. It's like I just combusted that idea in my own head. My best thinking gave me an idea of a power which is watching me, expecting me to do the right thing. And if I fail to do so, there will be severe consequences for that. So to have the proper attitude of surrender, abandoning myself to love, safety, protection, to a higher power that has those attributes is really challenging. So a lot of my prayer is the the set-aside prayer, asking God to set aside everything I think I know about God and about everything else. I want to have the proper attitude of surrendering, of being helped, of being cared for, of being loved and held. And to get to that proper attitude, I need to ask the power of my no understanding, of my misconception, to help me have a conception where I feel safe. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Christy M., you're up next, followed by Jean J.
Hi,
where are you calling from, Christy?
I'm calling from Oregon.
Thank you.
Yep, this is Christy M., recovering bulimic and compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I so appreciate this passage. I think, one, the idea of prayer and meditation, and as part of my disease, is that I am so dissociated and detached from my feelings and emotions that over time, with my eating disorder, like, my reaction to life is to go to food. And because I have done that for so long, I don't always know that I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling frustrated. It's like the just knee-jerk reaction is to go to food. And part of recovery for me in that meditation is to be still and to be in touch with how I'm feeling. If I'm not still, if I'm not meditating, if I'm not pausing, if I'm not giving myself space, then I can't know how I'm feeling. I can't process it. And almost every time I've gone to the food, when I kind of walk myself backwards, I can always see there was like an emotion, a really uncomfortable emotion that started that. But for me to interrupt that process, I have to be in meditation. I have to be pausing. I have to be silent. I have to be still to know, you know, my own thoughts, to know my own feelings. And so then I can use one of the tools, you know, like calling someone in program, of doing some writing. So I think meditation did not come easy for me. I'm a busybody. I'm a doer. I like to be busy. I like to get things done. And sometimes being still is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's uncomfortable being in my feelings. But I have to be in my feelings to be able to use one of the tools of the program. So I found that meditation was hard for me and it was uncomfortable, but it was totally necessary for me to find abstinence and serenity. And in terms of prayer and meditation, the idea of prayer is something that I'm constantly working at and refining in my program. I believe intellectually in the idea of my higher power. I have a faith. I have an understanding of a higher power in my life, but I don't always act as if in my day-to-day life. I start to try to play God. I try to control things, control outcomes. I get distressed, and I forget to pause, you know, to pause and turn to prayer, even in the small moments, even in the moments, you know, in between the morning when I do my morning meditation and in between the evening when I do my evening prayer. You know, that's something I need to be working on, is those moments of pausing. And I think something that's so freeing and hopeful about this program is I don't have to have all the answers. I don't actually have to know what to do. And that is really freeing. And I forget that all the time, you know, when I'm going through the day and I'm running into situations that are stressful or I just forget. Like, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know what to do. I have a higher power that does have the answers. And in order for me to tap into that, I have to be able to pause. I have to be able to turn things over in the moment. I have to have times to be still so I can sense that, you know, they say God, good orderly direction. I have to be able to pause to hear that.
Gentle reminder.
So that's something that, thank you. think you all wrap up is something I'm continually reminding and needing to work on, but it's also something that gives me a tremendous amount of hope today. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. Jean J., you are up next, followed by Anne-Marie M.
Good morning. Thank you for the meeting, everyone, and for those that are doing service positions. Appreciate it. So this one line, second line, we shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. I have lately been using the St. Francis prayer over in the 12 and AA 12 and 12. It's, I like it because the message is it's better to give than receive. And as a textbook addict, I sure need that message. It also includes in there all kinds of lovely soul lotion, I guess, or when there's despair, hope, darkness, light, and so on. And this morning, as I was waking up, I remembered some things that I did 30 years ago. And I shrieked inside, just, oh no, it couldn't be true. And oh yes, it was. And so there I am clutching in this, and oh, I have to do it on my inventory now, and oh, I don't want, and then, you know, I'm trying to reason with myself now. Now you've got to, any business keeps a fresh inventory and this will be good. And oh, yes, yes, it will. So all this was me in my frenetic, frantic head. But when I returned to the prayer, I was led over to basically the acceptance world of like 417 outlines of the letting go world, where all would be well. All has been perfection the entire time, magnificently orchestrated by the great reality within and without to guide myself and everyone else involved toward greater harmony. And, you know, what a message to someone that has walked the long, lonely path of addiction. And very grateful for that. And I'll pass. This is Jean J. in Portland, Oregon.
Thanks so much, Jean J. Anne Marie M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Doug S.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Through God's grace, I am recovered from compulsive eating, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The smallest word I found was the most important word, and that word was if we have carefully followed directions. And for me, I followed these directions, and then I stopped following them over and over again. And I'm grateful today that I am still following them. I have learned over my many times of breaking my abstinence and going back to step one over and over again, that I need to continue to follow these directions. So if we have carefully followed these directions, and it also says somewhere in the book, faith without works is dead. And, you know, if I just do the lip service and I don't do the work, the actual work, I'm not going to have that spiritual experience. So if we have carefully followed his directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. And that last, second to last sentence, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. And it reminded me of the appendix to, spiritual experience. At the bottom of the last sentence, it says, with few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. So, with few exceptions, and those exceptions, in my belief, are those that haven't followed the directions. And I know for me that was true. When I at first wasn't following directions and thought I could do this stuff on my own way, because I knew so much, read so many books, that spiritual connection didn't come in, but I have that spiritual connection today, and I am so grateful for it. I have such a desire to learn more about the God of my understanding, and I am learning more about him, and I'm just so grateful for that, to have that. I have tapped an unsuspected inner resource. So grateful. And it's because I'm following the directions, but I'm continuing. I'll never know everything, whereas before I thought I had. So thanks, Elaine. I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie. Doug S., you are up next, followed by Patricia C., and we may have time for one more share after that. We'll see. Doug S., please share with us.
Thank you. Doug S., a desperate and grateful compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I am indeed grateful for the meeting this morning. I'm always grateful. But at any rate, as I look at this paragraph, what strikes me, actually over and over again, the simple directions that are given for recovery. And the word where it says, it works, and the it being prayer. Prayer works if, as the member just said, if we have the proper attitude and work at it. That is what struck me this morning, is that I have to ask myself, check, how's my attitude? At the height of working the steps and moving forward in the program, I was amazed, and I would just say over and over again, God did for me what I could not do for myself. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And I hit a pretty rough bump in the road a little while ago, and I realized that, again, I must turn to him with faith and ask and believe that he is going to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Because when I look at step three and I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, I know that that care means love, that he cares about me, he cares for me, and he's going to take care of me. But I need to do my part. So I have to have the attitude, and the attitude is great, starts with the attitude, but then I have to work at it. I can't just say, I guess can't identify as, oh yes, I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm working the steps and I'm a person of prayer. No, I have to really actually do the work. And as the next sentence says, it would be easy to be vague about this matter. And so I think it's really important. And my sponsor often just says, well, just pray. And I realized that I can allow just that simple phrase and be vague about it, or I can actually move forward, step forward, and come into contact, conscious, improving, not having a perfect conscious contact, but improving my conscious contact with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug S. And Patricia C., you are up next, and we may have time for a two-minute share after that. We'll see. Please go ahead, Patricia.
Hello. I'm Patricia C. from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I really just wanted to save my spot and participate. But I think the thing about this paragraph is how simple it is, you know, just not to be shy about prayer and meditation. And I think for me, my first, 8-9 years in OA, just wasn't a lot of emphasis on the end steps, the 10, 11, 12, 12 somewhat, you know, sponsoring for sure, but 10 and 11 were really kind of, you know, like, we continue with it. But I didn't really know anybody who did that. And I think this paragraph right here just redirects us to step three, or to step two and step three, but that what it says in the agnostics, like the whole point of the book, is to, you know, give us a connection to a power greater than ourselves that can solve our problem. So even though we go through all the steps, and I can get like this, and I have to keep reminding myself, like I'm talking to myself too, that I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, I can go through all the steps and I can go through all the motions of what I think I should do, my checklist of things to do every day. But none of it will work if I'm not actively trying to have a connection with my higher power, with God. So if I'm not praying, you know, like I can list, oh, you know, this is why I'm resentful and here's my part, but then I have to give it to God. You know, I have to be like, especially for fears. That's a big thing for me, is that almost any resentment I have underneath this, almost always there's a fear. And I have to say the fear prayer, like, God, just take this fear from me, because I know that I can't, because I'm powerless. Take this fear from me and redirect my attention to what you'd have me be. And then I just, like, for me, that's like part of my meditation every day, is I sit and I listen, like, what do I think God would have me be? Not just what do I logically think. And sometimes I'm surprised by the answers that come. So anyway, this step is just so essential, but it's easy to just get, for me to get into like this, you know, okay, do this, but I get the serenity and the joy and the ease of life more, you know, dealing with life's problems when I'm actively working this step and really trying to connect with God. So thank you for that, and I pass.
Thank you so much. And if somebody would like to jump in for a 2-minute share, real quickly, star one to unmute.
This is Larry G.
Go for it, Larry. Thank you.
Oh, God, Larry G. from California. This, I'd say, vision has saved my life. Well, vision has, because it has allowed me to have a connection. It's beyond my wildest imagination with a power greater than myself, has granted me a life that's really amazing today, free of the obsession. And I really wanted to give a shout out for the person who read, who started out, Barbara W., amazing share, and a demonstration that we can go beyond this human existence we have. We can spiritually rise above it. And I think that's what the 11th step is all about for me, is that it goes so far beyond not eating, so far beyond, you know, the obsessions and the food and the plans and, you know, the all the stuff, the minutiae of recovery. It helps me to really to develop a conscious contact with a power greater than myself. And I was listening to this incredible song yesterday that just made me cry. You know, I shared it with a one of my people, my God squad. And I met with somebody yesterday who is a person who's bigger than life, a mentor to me. And she's diminished yesterday, really beaten down, and said something was quite hurtful. But because of the 11th step, I can see that this person was in a great deal of pain and had nothing to do with me. And I could have great compassion for her. I could have great empathy for her. And I believe the reason I have the capacity to do that today, obviously, is because I'm abstinent. I'm calling today. I didn't wake up in a fluke hangover. But more importantly than that, it's been the 11-step work. Because it's 11-step work that I have learned how to be compassionate to other people, to be empathetic to other people. Elaine, thank you so much for your moderation. You're a kind host, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G., and everybody who shared today. What a fabulous meeting. We'll now transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Mary B. please read a vision for you?
May I be heard?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of a happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.